Look out there, Marshall. Look, on the widest part of the lake. Here they come, sailing up from Plattsburgh. Here is how Wasmes describes their movements.
At 4 o'clock this morning, the order for general march was beaten, and immediately hereafter that for assembly. The army then embarked on their bateau and rowed out of Cumberland Bay up to the entrance to Lake Champlain. The bateau moved in files of four, and the ship Maria also weighed anchor. She accompanied us, always keeping to her right.
His whole army appeared in perfect regularity, as to form the most complete and splendid regatta you can possibly conceive. It was a majestic sight, with the Indians in their birch canoes holding between 20 and 30 men each, followed by the gunboats, together with brigs and sloops.
I'm doing the math, Grandpa. There must have been hundreds of boats.
Absolutely. There were several groups moving up the lake. The first group of the army under Brigadier General Fraser would go ashore to clear a place to camp, which would then also serve as a campground for the next group. Each evening, the soldiers and camp followers, like our Dr. Julius Wasmes, would disembark and get to work setting up camp. And like we were talking about earlier, they were exposed.
The militia hiding behind trees or up on the ledges over there to our right.
If we were to pitch our tents here, we would first have to clear a camping place in this immense and dense forest. The Fraser Corps had made a breastwork of big trees. They had set out from here this morning and taken their course toward Crown Point. They had driven off a detachment of rebels from here, whereby one savage had been shot dead. The savages had captured six rebels and scalped all of them alive.
Wow, this is really graphic. I bet the Indians were right at home in the forest, fighting in the wilderness, but it must not have been so easy for the soldiers.
There are again very many mosquitoes at this place, and although having left Canada by now, we have not seen swallows as yet, nor any other birds that live off insects. Orders were quickly issued to the army that no one should take his clothes off at night, so that all may quickly appear at the front should there be any noise. For a detachment of 800 rebels is said to be in the wilderness here.
The area we are driving through is known as Split Rock. If you were on the lake, you would see a split in the granite rock that creates a little island off the point. This rock was known to the Abenaki as the Rock Split Through.
At 3 o'clock, we had embarked and were rowing in good weather and calm waters for 6 miles along the right shore. We found the shore to consist of one solid rock, as it were, and so high that it was impossible to climb. Various kinds of trees and brush grew out of this rock, and in about the middle of this precipice, we saw an opening through the rock, called Split Rock, where four men abreast could march through.
It says here that there are all kinds of hiking trails on Split Rock today. Maybe we can come back another time and take a hike.
You got it, Marshall. Then I can show you why they call this place Split Rock. You know, they use distinctive landmarks such as Split Rock to define a nation's territory. It is widely believed that Split Rock was the border between the Algonquins in the north and the Iroquois to the south, before the Europeans carved out their own borders. The 1713 Treaty of Utrecht ended Queen Anne's War and designated Split Rock as the divide between the British and French colonists.